Lutheran talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesztc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Rosemarow joins us on Fridays for a feature we call This Week in Pop American Christianity. And, you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a fringe thing, and sometimes it's a little more mainstream. I don't think you get any more mainstream pop Christianity in the world than Hillsong Church. Now, Hillsong is headquartered in Australia, but it's got churches everywhere. Every major market, it is New York, London, you name it. It's an international, multinational church. Now, that makes it very influential. Not to mention the fact that if your praise band is playing praise music on Sunday morning, I will bet you money that they're playing songs that come from, you guessed it, from Hillsong. Mark Driscoll, on the other end of the spectrum, is kind of an American phenomenon, Mars Hill Church, and he probably has been most notorious of late for the trouble he's gotten himself into. The two met in an odd confluence, and we're going to talk about that and Glenn Beck preaching at Ed Young Jr.'s church in Texas. Chris Rosemarow is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
All right. Just the cast of characters in this first piece we're going to be talking about. Refresh our memory on Hillsong, refresh our memory on Mark Driscoll, and how they came together in a rather unexpected way recently.
Well, obviously, you've pointed out that Hillsong is this multinational, brand, if you would. They're known for their Hillsong record label, their Hillsong songs. I mean, they are a multi-million-dollar media powerhouse, as well as a multi-site, church with all kinds of different, Hillsong churches within the Hillsong family all over the world, with Brian Houston at the helm. And if you don't know about Hillsong, I must insist that you probably don't get out much. But then Mark Driscoll, as you pointed out, Driscoll had he's an American phenomenon, has come to have all kinds of problems due to plagiarism in his books, using tithe money to make him a New York Times bestselling author, known for his famous quote about the pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus. And the way they came to be together is that prior to Mark Driscoll's resignation last year, Hillsong had announced that he was going to be one of the speakers at this year's 2015 Hillsong Conference. And what happened is that invitation was extended prior to Driscoll's resignation. The information regarding the fact that his board of elders had wanted him to step down so that he can, be disciplined and then restored. All of that happened after the announcement that he would be the speaker. And so when Driscoll resigned, Hillsong said that they were still going to have Driscoll come, but they weren't going to have him speak. Instead, Brian Houston was going to conduct an interview with Driscoll and his wife. And the outcry from people in Australia regarding having Driscoll on the stage, literally one of the most influential stages in all of evangelicalism, the outcry from people caused Brian Houston a few weeks back to announce that he had dropped Driscoll from appearing at the Hillsong Conference. And then what was really fascinating is that rather than Driscoll appearing, an interview that Brian Houston videotaped with him interviewing Driscoll and his wife, played at the Hillsong Conference. And the irony of this is that, you know, I have people who I know who live in Australia. They have a copy of the schedule for that day at the Hillsong Conference. It didn't even show up on the schedule. It just at a particular weird time slot, it started playing. And so, this is quite an interesting set of circumstances, and there are a lot of people who feel betrayed by Brian Houston by even playing the video that he did. So technically, Driscoll didn't actually appear at the Hillsong Conference in person, but the interview still took place, and it took place, via video. And so it's quite an interesting story.
So what are we going to hear first?
What we're going to hear first is in the interview, Driscoll has done some repenting and has actually asked for forgiveness for some people. And I think you'd be surprised who he's asked for forgiveness from. And so that's what we're going to hear first.
I guess one of the things that you were known for, certainly in years gone by, was public criticism of other pastors and leaders. And probably the first time I actually ever heard of you wasn't because of your Bible teaching or because of your books, or it was actually because of your attacks on other people. So I guess, would that be another area where you have regrets, or would you still defend that?
I would not defend that. I feel like I had lost any right to criticize another pastor or leader. I believe that the lack of empathy caused me to think I knew what they were going through or what they should say or what they should do. Having gone through this very complicated season, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I certainly don't feel the right to tell others what they should say or do. And there's a list of people, pastors that I've contacted or called to apologize to and to ask forgiveness from, and I don't want to do that publicly because I don't want to cause them more drama or pain, but that has been part of the journey.
And Joel Osteen is a personal friend of mine,
yeah.
And so again, one of the first things I knew about you was, that you talked about Joel publicly. So when I first met you, I was paranoid, because the last thing I wanted was Mark Driscoll speaking against me publicly.
Yeah, I think in the providence of God, I can honestly say it was a couple of weeks ago that the Lord convicted me of that sin against Pastor Joel. And so I, through a mutual friend, have contact with his team and have asked permission to send him a private apology. But in addition to that, I appreciate this opportunity to publicly apologize to him.
Chris, did I hear that right, that he felt the need to apologize to Joel Osteen?
That's correct. So I find that fascinating because in the interview, Driscoll didn't say anything about calling up the people who he threw under the Mars Hill bus, including members of the church and leaders of the church. Instead, he felt that it was important during this interview to let everybody in the Hillsong audience know that he had personally reached out in order to apologize to Joel Osteen for criticizing Osteen's theology, which is absolutely bizarre because I actually remember watching the video in the sermon where Driscoll critiqued Joel Osteen's theology, and I thought his criticism was spot on and biblical at the time. Now, granted, this was like 2008, 2009, but apparently, now his criticism of Joel Osteen was sinful, and he's reached out to apologize to Joel Osteen, and yet Osteen is not a man who rightly handles God's word nor preaches the biblical gospel. And I find it fascinating that Driscoll now feels that the person he really needs to apologize to is Joel Osteen.
So we're talking, I think you said at one point, he's issuing a lot of apologies, but not for the stuff that's gotten him in the position he's in. Is that a fair assessment?
That's correct. What's missing is, like, I would say, like an apology to all the people he threw under the bus and abused at Mars Hill, an apology for spending tithe money in order to artificially make him a New York Times best-selling author, an apology, for all of the people who he plagiarized from in all of the books that he published, even like an apology to John MacArthur, because if you remember a few years back at the Strange Fire conference, Mark Driscoll crashed the conference and literally lied about the security team there, and on social media, and it claimed that they had confiscated copies of his books and things like that, and that wasn't true at all. So he hasn't reached out to John MacArthur to apologize for the publicity stunt in crashing the Strange Fire Conference. It's just absolutely fascinating that, you know, of all the real things that he really should be apologizing for, he hasn't apologized for any of that. But the one thing he should never have apologized for is the thing that he is apologizing for criticizing Joel Osteen.
We have one more from Hillsong. What should we listen for here, Chris?
Now, in this next soundbite, Driscoll is going to be discussing what led up to his decision to resign as the pastor of Mars Hill. And he's going to talk about how the elders of his congregation had addressed what they considered to be sins that required him to be removed from the ministry for a season, and talk about how he would be restored, and then what happened for Mark Driscoll to make the decision to step down and actually resign from being the pastor of Mars Hill. It's a very fascinating thing that he says.
And so I invited the board to do a full examination, interview anybody, anything, and we would submit to whatever verdict that they determined. And so Grace and I were present with the board, and they said, we see in your history of leadership, less in more recent years, but particularly in the past, pride, anger, and domineering leadership style. That would be the three exact words they used. We don't see anything disqualifying. These are areas we want you to grow. We want you to return to leadership of the church soon. They wanted to do some cleanup internally. We want you back on January 4th in the pulpit, give you time to heal, things to cool down, and for some changes to be made. We agreed to that. I sent in a go-forward plan. I think it was on Monday night. I was in the bedroom. Grace was in the living room. And so we told the board and told the kids, you know, come back and resume preaching and try and love and serve and fix what was a struggling church. And then on that Monday night, I was in the bedroom. Grace was in the living room. And he spoke to me and he spoke to her in a supernatural way that neither of us anticipated or expected. And so Grace walked in and she said, I feel like the Lord just spoke to me and said what we're supposed to do. And I was like, I feel like the Lord just spoke to me and said what we're supposed to do. It's not what we wanted. It's not what we had agreed to. It's not what we had planned for. And so I asked her, well, what did the Lord say to you? Because I didn't want to influence her. And she said that we're
released.
Yeah. Yeah. To me that, you know, a trap has been set. There's no way for us to return to leadership. And I didn't know what that meant or what was going on at the time.
All right, Chris, can you just kind of summarize, especially that last part, a trap has been set?
Well, let's you know, kind of review here. So the elders at Mars Hill had decided that they were going to remove him from the pulpit for the month of October of last year, November, and December, basically 3 months, and then restore him to, you know, to preach in the early part of January of 2015. He goes home and claims that he and his wife both received direct special revelation from God, releasing him from the pastoral office at Mars Hill, and with the added caveat that the Lord revealed to Mark Driscoll that a trap had been set. And so basically, by claiming direct revelation of this type, this direct revelation literally is indicting the elders of Mars Hill as not acting in good faith, but were in fact they were acting in a duplicitous way and had set a trap for Mark Driscoll. And all of this comes about via a direct revelation. So I think it's important to note that Mark Driscoll's, you know, kind of his final act now of, you know, the pastor of Mars Hill is that he threw the elders and those who he was accountable to at Mars Hill under the bus via direct revelation, claiming that they had laid a trap for him, and that was the reason why he was being released from ministry, because God didn't want him to be duped by the trap that had been set.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. I got one more question on that, because if you're getting direct revelation from God, remember Mark Driscoll is one of those vision casting leaders who gets his visions from God. No one can argue with him. No one can argue with this. This is a direct word from God. So if you believe in that vision casting stuff, Mark Driscoll has completely rewritten the history of what happened there at Mars Hill with God's permission, of course. Chris Roseborough with Fighting for the Faith is our guest. We'll be right back.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris, one question on the Hillsong Mark Driscoll thing, because if we're to believe Mark Driscoll and the many, many, many pastors and congregations who buy into the vision casting leader model, Mark Driscoll has just rewritten history. Everyone up to this point, everything we knew up to this point was a lie. And Mark Driscoll has revealed from God what was really going on at Mars Hill. And if he's right, he should be restored to Mars Hill and issued an apology himself, right?
Absolutely. And see, that I don't think he's really thought through the implications of what it is that he's saying and claiming as far as receiving direct revelation from God. If God really revealed to Mark Driscoll that the reason why he needed to resign is because the elders of Mars Hill had laid a trap for him, and that they had no intention of really restoring him, and that they were basically putting on a pretense, that then the reality is that Mark Driscoll's a victim. He has a crime has been perpetrated against him, and the people who need to be held accountable and basically brought out on the carpet and disciplined and in a very public way too are all the elders and those who are on the Board of Accountability Advisors for Mars Hill in Seattle, because God has revealed that Driscoll is a victim. They had laid a trap. And so the reality is this, is that Driscoll did not hear this from God. What you just heard there is blasphemy. And I mean that in the real sense. When the scriptures say in the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means we do not lie or deceive by God's name. God did not reveal this to Mark Driscoll. That is absolutely patently false, and what he's done is just basically played the direct revelation card in order to paint himself as a victim rather than somebody who has perpetrated a bunch of crimes. And this is blasphemy, and this is what it means to take God's name in vain. And I think this is something that we should put out as an example of those who believe in the vision casting leader model. They claim that these leaders receive direct revelation from God, and that makes them on the same plane as prophet. They are receiving direct revelation. They are getting direct words from God, direct instructions from God. And that being the case, at the end of the day, you can't challenge them. You can't question them. You can't even hold them accountable, because they are on a different plane than we are. They are getting direct revelation from God. They are God's special and chosen people, and we can't question them, and which, by the way, is patently false. And I think historically it's important to note this is exactly what the Pope claimed for himself in the medieval period, which led up to the Reformation and the split within the church with Rome. And I would recommend people read the Lutheran Confessions and the document entitled The Power and Primacy of the Pope. The Pope is the ultimate example of a vision casting leader. He even has it a better version of it than the seeker driven guys. But the seeker-driven guys are, in a sense, little popes. That's what they've turned themselves into by claiming to be vision-casting leaders and getting direct revelation from God.
What does this make of Mark Driscoll's resignation letter? He mentioned nothing in the resignation letter about God telling him that a trap had been set for him.
No, he didn't. He didn't say anything about that until his interview with Brian Houston. So I'm not sure how to interpret the silence of, none of this was mentioned in his resignation letter, except for, I'm not buying it. I'll be blunt. I don't believe Mark Driscoll. I don't believe God told him this. And so now going, months later, almost a year later, claiming that God told him this doesn't help his cause. If anything, it shows that him being removed from ministry was not only warranted, but him returning to ministry should never happen.
What was radio host Glenn Beck doing in the pulpit at Ed Young Jr.'s church in Texas, and what are we going to hear here in this first cut?
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since we've done our This Week in Evangelicalism segment, and while we were away, Ed Young invited Glenn Beck to preach the weekend services over the 4th of July, the 4th of July and the 5th of July, and Ed Young dubbed that weekend their freedom experience. So he invited everybody to come have a freedom experience at Fellowship Church, and they had carnival-like atmosphere, fireworks, and stuff like that, and a rip-roaring patriotic call to repentance from the Mormon Glenn Beck. And yeah, he did preach the sermon, and we're actually going to listen to a couple of sound bites from it. And it's unbelievable that somebody who doesn't even believe in the biblical Jesus, who is a member of a cult, and that would be Glenn Beck, although he is an American patriot, I'll give him that, he has no business being invited to actually preach, to a congregation of people who profess to be Christians because he doesn't believe in the biblical Jesus. The Jesus he believes in is a false Jesus. So it's mind-boggling what's happening in evangelicalism today. With and Glenn Beck, this isn't the first church that Christian church that has invited Beck to speak, but our first soundbite that we're going to be listening to from Beck's sermon is Glenn Beck giving us, in a sense, a little bit of his personal testimony, to which he gets quite a bit of applause from this group of people claiming to be Christians.
I want to thank Ed for inviting me, and thank you for your hospitality. It is a real joy and honor to be with you, especially on this Independence Day. We are facing all kinds of trouble in our country and in the world. And we have talked about the soldiers that have protected this nation, but I want to spend a few minutes talking to you about our responsibility now to protect this nation. We are the front line. We are the last line of defense, and if we fail, liberty will be lost. But the good news is I have been lost in my own life before. I am somebody that in 1995 didn't have a friend in the world. No one would cross the street to shake my hand. No one should. I had lied to my family. I had lied to all of my friends. I had lied to myself for so long. I was a raging alcoholic, completely out of control. And I found myself literally down on my knees saying it's either life or death. I've had two suicides in my family. My mother committed suicide when I was 15. And that was the end for me. And I realized at that moment, I was going to either fall in her footsteps or I was going to find a different way. And it was at that moment that I began my journey to find the saving grace of Jesus Christ that got me back up on my feet. And it is only through him that I am standing today. It is only through him that my family has been restored. And it is only through him that we will pull our family, our nation, out of the grasp and the jaws of hell and bring it back to a Christ-centered nation where we need to be.
Okay, Chris, there's so much wrong when you consider the fact that this is a Mormon preaching in a Christian church. There's so much wrong with what's going on here. But, I mean, he's speaking their language, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that he sounds just like an evangelical, which is kind of sad because at this point, evangelicalism has become so anti-doctrinal that if anybody comes, even a Mormon, and just says the name Jesus and claims that they're experiencing life transformation because they believe in Jesus, they don't care about the theological differences between the Mormon Jesus and the biblical Jesus. And This is explicitly discussed in the New Testament epistles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here's what Paul writes starting in verse 3. He says this to the church in Corinth, "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, that your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than other than the one that we proclaimed, or if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." And this is exactly what Glenn Beck is doing. He's come to Fellowship Church, which is supposed to be a Southern Baptist congregation, and he is bringing with him a different Jesus and a different spirit and even a different gospel. And all they care about is that he's claiming that he's experienced life transformation at the hands of Jesus, and they're giving him loud applause and ovation for this. Yet it's important to note that the Jesus of Mormonism is not God the Son, second person of the eternal Trinity, begotten of the Father before all worlds. Instead, the Jesus of Mormonism is the child of Elohim, Heavenly Father, and Elohim lives on a planet called Kolob, and he is having celestial sex with all of his different spirit wives and producing spirit babies, and Jesus was just one of them, and Jesus is also the brother or half-brother of Lucifer, and the God that they believe in, Elohim, apparently was also a man at one point, and he became a god by being obedient to his God. So it's not enough that somebody says, oh, Jesus has helped me experience life change. I was a raging alcoholic, but I believe in the grace of Jesus, and now I'm sober. Well, the problem is the Jesus he believes in, whether he's sober or not, doesn't exist. The Jesus he believes in is an idol and a false Jesus. And we're warned in Scripture about false Jesuses and false gospels and false spirits. And yet the people at Fellowship Church, you know, hey, he's speaking our language, so he's got to be one of us. And no, he isn't.
What's next real quick here, Chris?
Okay, next soundbite is Glenn Beck talking about the theology of America. Apparently, America is a covenant nation. This is one of the things he said in his sermon.
I have a lot of stuff and very little time, and I want to just kind of go through, because it's essential that we ask ourselves, who are we? Who are we? Because most people don't know. And what keeps us going? Most people, again, don't know. We came here for a reason. We are a covenant nation. We're the only ones, besides the original state of Israel, that made the covenant with God. Down on his knees after the first inaugural address, George Washington made a four-hour covenant with the Lord. We are violating that covenant now. We are the ones that are blowing it. The Lord is begging us, please turn your face back to me and I will heal your land.
All right, Chris, this sounds like boilerplate Mormon view of America, isn't it?
Yeah, no, really. It is a form of Mormon theology that he's putting forward here, that that America somehow is the new Zion. And this idea that somehow George Washington, by spending 4 hours with God, became a signatory on the Mosaic Covenant. I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. But, I mean, part of Mormon mythology is this idea that, that the Garden of Eden was somewhere in Missouri. You actually live pretty close to the original Garden of Eden there in St. Louis.
This is my backyard, sure.
Yes, literally. I mean, and so this is all part of Mormon lore, but it's nothing but man-made mythology, and mythology created by the false prophet Joseph Smith. And there's Glenn Beck spewing this Mormon theology and this Mormon view of America and its covenant with God from the pulpit at Fellowship Church, which is, I mean, again, this is just utter blasphemy that this is happening. And, you know, this doesn't please or honor God, and we are not called to be united in visible fellowship with people who believe in a different Jesus and a different God and have a completely different gospel. And so, I mean, this is just a major sign of the complete anti-doctrinal position that has become American evangelicalism. This was not a highlight at Fellowship Church. This was instead a harbinger of what I would consider growing apostasy and trouble ahead for evangelicalism as a whole.
And with only 30 seconds, you said that this may be the most prominent, but it certainly isn't the only Christian church to which Glenn Beck has been asked to come and preach his Mormon doctrine.
That's correct. In fact, there's a group of churches in the seeker-driven movement who seem to have made it their goal to, you know, invite Glenn Beck and basically show that they're going to have unity with this man who believes in Jesus, regardless of what, you know, theologians, seminary profs, and discernment bloggers have to say, in order to show everybody what it's like to have true Christian unity. And they're not showing what it's like to have unity. They're showing what it's like to be syncretistic in a way that's actually sinful.
Chris, what are you going to be talking about in about 5 minutes here on Fighting for the Faith?
Today I'm going to spend a lot of time catching up on my emails on Fighting for the Faith. That's where we're going to spend our time. So we're going to multiple topics as we answer listener emails.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. That's piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of that daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Starts in just about 5 minutes. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
You can also enjoy Pastor Chris Roseborough's insights on the Issues Etc., 2015 Issues Etc., Making the Case Conference audio DVD. At that conference, he was making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church. We will send you, if you're a non-conference attendee, that DVD, that audio DVD, for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. You can pre-order online at issuesetc.org. Just click the audio DVD logo, issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That address again, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. It has more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing from the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Order your audio DVD today. It's, I guess, not surprising, is it, that a pop American Christianity that is far more American than it is Christian, let's just be honest, far more American than it is Christian, would fail to see the distinction between the Jesus of Holy Scripture, the God-man incarnate, who is our Savior, and the false Jesus of Mormonism. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.